Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in... Three body problem. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver five times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the seven-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the... tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
It's the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses. This is the Game of Roses. Welcome to the Game of Roses.
Welcome to Game of Roses. This is Pace Case.
This is Bachelor Clues. Today is Friday. It's actually Thursday. Pace Case and I record these on Thursdays, but they come out on Friday. I'm time traveling, as I like to do sometimes in the astral plane. But it will be coming out Friday, but today is Thursday, which means we have something gigantic happening tonight. That is, of course, the Traitors season.
You are a liar, actress Ekinsu.
The Traitors season 2 finale is tonight, as well as the reunion. They're both coming out tonight. I'm going to be doing them both in Clues Corner. So tune in. A double corner tonight. I'm going to do them as fast as I can get them out. I'm looking so fucking forward to it. Traitors season 2 has really been one of the highlights of my year so far. I know we're only beginning the third month of this year, but that's almost 25% done this year.
I can't wait to watch you watch Traitors season 1.
Yeah, I'm definitely going to then jump into Traitors season 1. And I got news for you. I think at some point soon, I'm going to go back and probably do World's Toughest Test season 1. The one that Hannah Brown won.
Okay. That one I am less interested in, but you do you, Clues. You follow your passions.
I'm just becoming very interested in where the Bachelor players wind up and what games are they dominating? What games are they winning? And I feel like I owe it to Hannah Brown to watch that.
I hope there's more Bachelor players in season 3 of Traitors.
I think, you know, for my money, I think there will be. Because what Peter has been able to do this season and kind of really be the star of the show, I think they're going to want more Bachelor players in there just to see what they can do in the game because they do get underestimated.
I mean, we'll get into the Bachelor Traitor celebration how Bachelor has maybe taken over the Traitors in the social media.
Yes.
Later. But
Buca de Beppo never looked so good.
I would love to see some Bachelor players really crush it. Maria, oh my God.
Well, hopefully she'll be busy doing something else. Which brings us to our first segment of this week in Bachelor Nation.
Game of Roses. State of the game.
We are at that crucial moment at the end of every Bachelor season where the conversations at the highest levels of NZK and ABC are beginning to happen about who will wear the crown in the upcoming season of Bachelorette. And I just want to say this to anyone who may be listening that is in those conversations. This decision, who you put the crown on, is a crucial inflection point in the franchise's history.
Mm-hmm.
You have momentum. Coming out of, I would argue it started in Charity Lawson season 20. The removal of Mike Fleiss, little things start changing in that season where you're like, mm-hmm. wait a minute, they're not torturing people anymore. That momentum is carried through.
We're starting to get to know their personalities. They're elevating their leads.
All the things that we said needed to be done were being done, or at least they were starting mm-hmm. to be done there. Then we go through Golden. Golden Bachelor is a massive success.
Start with the flash forward scenes.
Exactly. They're marketing it properly. They're doing the promos properly. And now we come to the season we've got, which is kind of the next step in this momentum. And we're going to get to gains here about the ratings of Joey Grazia Day's season. But let's just say they're continuing to grow.
Not Toilet City.
No, not Toilet City.
The opposite. A beautiful cornucopia of food, a feast.
Something like this. But what needs to happen in this next season of Bachelorette to continue this momentum? Make no mistake. I know you have two choices for Bachelorette, really. Daisy mm-hmm. and Maria.
Or Kelsey and Maria and Daisy. No, Kelsey and Maria.
I think based on what happened in Hometowns, Kelsey is the ringwinner. I simply can't see it any other way. I believe Daisy did neuro-linguistic programming in order to be eliminated. And I think that will work. Look, she's a high-level player. I'm not knocking Daisy in what I'm about to say. Please don't make mm-hmm. that mistake. In almost any other season, she is your Bachelorette pick and everybody loves it. However, we are in a new era of reality television called Third Wave. You are now competing with shows like Perfect Match. You are competing with shows like Traitors, who have giant all-star casts of mm-hmm. massive reality stars. Harry Jowsey's on the next season of Perfect Match. You're competing with shit like that. You can't just do the safe yeah. pick. You can't have a Daisy.
It's like the wholesome pick. They used to do it.
Of course.
I mean, this is a little bit of my scream, but I have been going back and forth between who I think the ring winner is, Daisy or Kelsey, and uh-huh. it's driving me mad.
Interesting.
I'm like thinking about it when I'm going to sleep. I'm like, I don't know which one it is.
Daisy does not win.
Or is Daisy going to reject him at the final altar? How do you know this?
Because of the NLP. I watched her do the play on him, and I am almost 100% positive it's going to work.
That she's going to break up with him.
No, that she has planted in his mind it's okay for him to dump her, and therefore he will. Although she could be the person who writes that note too. We don't know what that note is that they showed in the promo, but the state of the game here is that we are balanced on a razor's edge with our beloved game right now. And one mm-hmm. way it reverts back to shit we've seen a million other times that will feel tired mm-hmm. and will not get the same ratings. It will not continue that momentum that has been built by so much good work in Bachelorette 20, in Golden, in this current Bachelor 28. Keep following that trail and cast Maria as your Bachelorette. She is a reality TV star. Will that season be messier than you might like? Absolutely. That's why we're going to watch it. We all want, and by we, I mean the fourth audience. I will say I'm now representative of the fourth audience. We all want Maria as Bachelorette.
Okay. You've astral projected. We're all connected, as you said on that other episode.
We are all one. So in effect, I'm talking to myself here.
We're all one. So I can speak for everyone. No, I mean, just in terms of their following, mm-hmm. it's Maria versus Daisy. Yeah. They are neck and neck on all platforms at this point. So the fourth audience is divided, but I do think that most people are watching this season for Maria. I think that's why her hometown was last, because that's how you keep people watching. They know that people are watching for Maria.
Absolutely. And I know, producers, if you're listening to this, mm-hmm. I know she's a lot. I know she's a handful. I know you're not going to get the standard kind of producer run on a show when you've got a lead like that, because there's going to be a lot of like propping her up as she's crying in corners and shit like this. But
I would argue none of these are ending in marriages anyway.
That too. That doesn't matter. I mean, let's just point blank say that. It doesn't matter whether or not these marriages last. Mm-hmm. You're going to have a fulfilling narrative. Someone will propose and accept or reject. We don't care if the relationships last, because none of them do. That's not why we're watching the show. We're watching it to see reality stars. That's why we're watching all reality TV now. Your premise holds true. Mm-hmm. You've got a great premise. It's obviously sustained for 28 seasons now in The Bachelor, and what will be 21 in the upcoming Bachelorette season.
The premise is perfect. Why do you think I've dedicated my life to it?
Exactly. Clearly, it got us. But you want to cast the biggest reality star you can to anchor that premise. She is that. And let the cards fall where they may. That's going to get you the biggest ratings. In my opinion, she is the only choice. And you run a very a risky proposition to put Daisy as your bachelorette. I know on paper it seems like she's the shoe-in, because she's got it all, 4TRR, this and that. It just... we've seen so much of that in the course of the franchise.
We're just asking you to notch up. Don't notch down.
That's right. And you have to start looking at legacy. I know there's the habit in the producerial ranks, certainly at the network ranks, to just say like, okay, well, what's the next season? And not look beyond that. Like, how is this going to affect the life of the franchise? I think Daisy is a step, not backwards isn't right, but like back in time. She is somebody who could have been a bachelorette like before Hannah Brown, you know? But once Hannah Brown kind of broke the mold as like, she's bold and she's going to speak her mind, we saw what came after that. Everything after Hannah Brown was like the fractured season with Claire Crowley and Tayshia Adams. It was Katie Thurston who came out of a fucking limo with a dildo. You need to be hitting things like at least at those levels. And I just don't think that Daisy is that. She's a much safer bet. We need Maria. I'm begging you, cast Maria as the bachelorette.
Yeah. Like I completely get the Daisy bachelorette thing. It's like, she is Cindy Lou Who. She is Mrs. Christmas. We love Christmas. We love Christianity in this franchise. I have seen some things that I think might make them not want Daisy as the bachelorette. She also has her PTC with the hearing loss, which we've never seen in a lead. So like, it would be important in that way. But I think the momentum that you have now, you want to keep riding that momentum. You want to keep riding that wave. You don't want people to be like, oh, well, I was hoping it'd be Maria. I'm not going to watch.
I agree. If Daisy's cast, there will be disappointment. If Maria is cast, mm-hmm. there will not be. I think even the people who want to watch a Daisy yes. season will still watch a Maria season, but the people who want to see a Maria season will probably not watch a Daisy season, unless it's us, of course, because we have to, and we've dedicated our lives to it, as you've said.
We will watch it forever. We don't care who the lead is. But I guess we're not representative of everyone this time.
No. And I also think Maria like appeals to Gen Z more.
I mean, did you see... we'll get to her swan song exit post. That was... beautiful.
But that is something that you need to think about in terms of the life of the franchise as well. Do you want to start bringing in the next generation of viewers to your program? The answer is yes, if you care at all about it. Again, you got to try and look at the longer picture here. What is going to happen to your franchise in the coming years? If you can build up like a 2024 that is just home run after home run, it is Grazia Day season, which is a massive home run. It's done perfectly into a Maria season, into a Leslie Fima Golden Bachelorette season, into Paradise season 10, which hopefully you will listen to our notes on that as well, which will be coming out in a few weeks. And it will be a completely revamped show unlike anything anyone has ever seen. Hopefully that's the year we get. That to me is the best 2024.
And I think you can build a love story with anyone.
Of course.
Like, you can find the people who are a match for Daisy or Maria. And, oh, one other thing I wanted to discuss. The fourth audience discovered that the rose order was switched up in the last rose ceremony. That they basically made it look like Daisy got first flower and Kelsey got second. But in reality, it looks like, if you see in the background, Daisy's holding no rose when Kelsey gets called to get hers. So Kelsey got first flower.
Yes, I saw this as well.
What does this mean?
I'm not exactly sure why they did it like that. I don't know. Like, the only...
Is it because Kelsey's ring winner?
I mean, I think she is at this point.
To bury it a little?
But I don't know.
I have no idea. I'm literally 50-50. I thought Daisy was the one who was so chill, but I, again, have been thinking about what you said about the giving him the out, and I'm like, I could see her dumping him.
It's the language. Look, even if it wasn't purposeful NLP, and it might not have been, then it is something that's revealing the psychology of Daisy. She's essentially saying without saying, I don't want to go through with this. Because she's speaking about their relationship in past tense. She's saying, no matter what happens, I will have had this great experience with you. She's already kind of like future casting to a time when they're not together. Whether she's just doing that subconsciously or trying to plant the seed in his mind, one of them or both of them have that idea. And I just don't think you go back from it.
I mean, I also think that's just like a chill personality, just being like, I'm experiencing gratitude.
A chill personality? Let's say that you believe this man is your fucking soulmate. You cannot live without him. He is the completion of your life. You're going to be like, look, anything, whatever happens, it's cool. No, you're going to be like, you're my fucking soulmate. It has to be us. She ain't in it. Or at the very least, she doesn't want him to be in it. At any rate, let me, if I may, break down some numbers for everyone. We have had 22 bachelorettes in our beloved game. And of those 22, 16 have come from the top three as we move into this final three round. We've got Trista Sutter, second place on her season. Jen Scheft was a ring winner on her season. Deanna Pappas was a finalist, but no ring winner on Brad Womack's season 11.
Yeah, I would argue that's two people tied for second place.
Yeah, exactly. And we've had some other seeds like that too. Jillian Harris was third place. Ashley Hebert was third place. Emily Maynard was a ring winner. Andy Dorfman was third place. Caitlin Bristow was third place. Joe, second place. Rachel Lindsay was third. Becca Kufrin was a ring winner. Claire Crawley was second. Tayshia Adams was third. Michelle Young was second. Gabby Windy was second and or third, as was Rachel Recchia on Bachelor 26, which was the, of course, rose ceremony from hell. We all remember. And those were the 16 players who finished in the top three to become bachelorette. Then there were six that have come from other placements. Meredith Phillips was fourth place. Ellie Fedotowsky was fourth. Desiree Hartsock was fourth. Hannah Brown was seventh. Katie Thurston was the lowest placement in history to wear a crown, 11th. And then Charity Lawson was also fourth place. So you're seeing the numbers here lining up. There have only been two bachelorettes ever selected from beyond fourth place. And there have only been four bachelorettes selected in fourth place. Everybody else third or higher. So I know that also does not bode well for Maria.
So it's Maria, Rachel, Kelsey, or Daisy. I mean, there's four fourth places.
If we're going just sheerly by the probabilities here, it's actually third place or higher. This means Maria does not have a very good chance, statistically speaking, which is why I make the plea, as hard as I'm making it now, you have to fucking cast her. She is the next bachelorette. If you don't,
I
think you're doing the franchise a disservice. And I think all this good momentum that you've built up is just going to fizzle.
I agree 100%. She's electric. You can't not cast your most electric player unless they're the ring winner. And she's not, I don't think.
Or a supervillain or something. But she's not a supervillain. You did a good job of omitting the stuff you needed to omit this season. I will say that. The editing of this season to protect Maria has been top notch.
You make that sound so ominous, as if she like punched someone and they didn't air it.
I'm not saying she punched someone, but I am saying, you know, when it looked like Leia and Sydney were just like saying all this shit out of nowhere, it wasn't out of nowhere.
Having arguments with themselves. Yeah.
Yes. They definitely omitted a lot of things that would have made all of that make way more sense. And that was in service of protecting her, I guess, because she went to hometowns. Like, I don't think when they were editing the full season, they had in mind that she could be the bachelorette yet. Those conversations don't really start happening until about now in earnest, you know?
Because they have to announce it. I mean, ideally they announce it after the final rose, but they have to kind of make the decision now because Women Tell All is coming up and she's going to be there. Are you going to edit her to be next crown, or are you going to edit her to be like, oh, we don't want her, she's too much? Or
certainly by this point, they might be giving contracts to people, you know what I mean? To be the bachelorette. But they always give multiple. So there may be three or four people who have that contract. It's signed, and they're just waiting to get the call that it's like official. But who the fuck knows?
Do you think they're all from this season?
Yeah, I do.
Yes.
I just don't know who else you dip back in time to get who.
You have to, because unless you get a major celebrity or maybe Hannah Brown, you're not going to recreate these ratings unless it's with one of these star players from the season.
Absolutely. I mean, we'll get into this a little bit when we do our How to Save Paradise episode.
And I just don't see Daisy getting a victimization edit. So I don't understand what's going to happen. I'm also like thinking about the twist, you know? I'm like, what, does he propose to Daisy? And then she says no, and then he proposes to Kelsey? That's never happened. It hasn't happened in the body of the main show. It has happened on Ari's season. It was all in one season.
Yeah, that's true. I would think of this current season, Joey Grazia Day's season, I would think of 2024 ultimately as a kind of reset for the franchise. That when you're doing Paradise, when you're doing any subsequent shows here, you're only pulling from pools of players that were from this year. I would not go, I would not dip back into like people who are on Paradise season 9. It's tainted.
I wouldn't dip. If you're going to dip into night one players, you don't put the Chiron, who is this person?
Yeah, I mean, we'll definitely get into that and to How to Save Paradise. But in terms of like who your bachelorette is or who anyone is that you're trying to hang a season on, they have to come from now. They have to be contemporary.
Who do you think would make a better bachelorette, Kelsey or Daisy?
I just feel like Daisy is like, she's a great player. Don't get me wrong, but she's like a strong ring winner vibe to me. I don't, she doesn't have like, again, she's good on paper with bachelorette.
They're not showing like an edge in the document.
Yes. And that's what you want. You want a little bit of unpredictability in your lead so that we're tuning in to see what they're going to do. I pretty much like, if you tell me there's a Daisy Kent season of Bachelorette, I already see it in my head. There's no surprises in that. And I could be wrong. Maybe there would be, but at least my anticipation of that.
And you just put into Maria's contract, she has to last a certain amount of weeks or else. Or else you Claire Crawley it. You know, just do it.
Sure.
Like, just if that's the worry, that she's too much of a loose cannon, I'm guessing that's the only reason they wouldn't pick her.
I don't know if it's too much of a loose cannon. I think the worry is, or the reason they may not pick her, is because tonally she's not a bachelorette. Her playstyle this season was extremely erratic.
But she's like a Caitlin Bristow.
She's not. Caitlin Bristow never crossed like the bachelor. I don't even know what it is. Like, it's hard to quantify exactly, but
she took her goddamn clothes off.
That's fine.
No, she jumped in a lake.
Yeah.
Nude.
I know, but that's just free spirit play.
Bachelorettes don't do that.
Yeah, they can.
That's what I'm saying. I'm saying free spirits can be bachelorettes.
Katie Thurston had a dildo. Yeah, as am I. I'm saying they can too. She's beyond free spirit though. She's gotten into a bunch of dramatic things. She's been the target of attacks. She kind of got a villain edit. She, you know, had to go on a two-on-one, all this shit. It's like, not that there haven't been crowns on two-on-ones. There have been a few, but she's not... She just doesn't have the traditional bachelorette tone, which is like a little bit of regalness. There's like a, I don't know how else to put it.
She's regal to me.
She's not though. She is like a messy reality TV star, but that's what you need in this era. That's what I'm arguing. That like for the Bachelor to move forward.
To compete with the highest ratings of Love is Blind of all time.
Yes, exactly. That's correct. That is what we're looking for here. We don't want a perfect, you know, nice season. We want it to have a little Love is Blind in it. That's why this season of Love is Blind, one of the messiest of all time in terms of how many couples fell out and like didn't wind up making it even all the way to the altar.
We want to see people stacking plates.
Yeah, we want to see a lot of that.
We want to see those plate stacks.
But I think the messiness of this season is the reason why it's the most viewed season in the history of that show. We are all at a point where we want to see reality TV stars.
Look, I just finished it. I just finished your corners for it through the wedding part. So just fast forward a few minutes if you don't want to hear Love is Blind spoilers. I was watching for Chelsea and Jimmy.
Yeah.
Same. I was just like, what? Every scene, it was like, what is going to happen? Yeah.
And then they just took the steam out of it.
And yeah, I guess that was not a 4TRR relationship. It was very messy.
Yep. I mean, yeah, it was. And once they were knocked out, it was like the rest of the finale to me was just kind of like dud city. I didn't give a shit about any of it because your biggest reality stars were gone other than AD.
Yeah. I would say I was watching for the AD victimization.
But even in the end of that, it wasn't like hardcore victimization because the way
she should have jumped in the mud, like Giannina, run away, yeah. Destroy your dress, tear
something
at
like
it.
That. Yeah. I don't know. That show has some problems in its late phases, I feel like. But, anyway, mm-hmm. That's our state of the game.
And Love is Blind spoilers.
But we just wanted to kind of discuss why we think Maria is the correct choice here for the next crown, even though she may not appear that way on paper, even though I know there is somebody in the old guard somewhere entrenched in ABC or NZK that's like, Maria's not bachelorette material. And I'm telling you, in the year 2024, she definitely is.
Yes.
She's the only person out of your season who has it.
1,000%. And you can use She's Doing It the Maria Way as her tagline. We got to get at that candy factory. I can't believe we didn't see it in Hometowns.
Maybe Vin Diesel could guest star.
Disgusting. I want to see her Hometowns with the dad dressed as Wonka.
Oh my God, please. I want to see a crash up derby where they have to do like driving the cars and crashing them into each other. A group date. Remember when they did that on Ari Leindike season?
Yeah.
I want to see that exact group date, but hosted by Vin Diesel.
Oh my God. I bet she could get Vin Diesel to do that.
I think they can make it happen.
Clues. That's such a good idea. They have to cast her just for that.
Yeah. There's probably got to be some Fast and Furious movie about to come out. There always is, every couple months.
Wait, that wasn't the movie they were in, though, right? It was The Babysitter?
Fast and Furious?
What was it? No, weren't they in a different movie together?
The Pacifier, I think it was called.
The Pacifier.
That's yeah, where he like has to... any like action star always has some movie where it's like, now you've got to watch a bunch of unruly kids. They have all done those movies.
Yeah, I think their kids want them to do it.
I don't know.
They're like, I want to see a movie I can watch.
Kindergarten Cop, Schwarzenegger.
Kangaroo Cop.
Kindergarten Cop. You don't know Kindergarten Cop?
No, I do. Wait.
My God.
Is that the one with Arnold and Danny DeVito?
That's Twins, where they play twins.
Oh, shoot.
All right.
Wait, what's Kindergarten Cop?
That's where he plays a kindergarten cop.
What does that mean?
He plays a cop who has to go undercover as a kindergarten teacher.
Oh, okay.
To bust up this crime ring.
Creepy.
Because one of the kids in the class that he's teaching, that kid's dad is like this arch criminal. Played by, I believe the guy's name was Richard Tyson. Known as, more famously as Buddy Ravel in 3 o'clock High.
So like the Sopranos prequel series.
Exactly like that. All right. We have strayed very far from all topics regarding Bachelor.
From all topics.
Let's get back on track here with...
This week in
games.
All right. So just like we were talking about up top, we have got this week's ratings are in. Grazzi scored a 0.69, up 10% from last week.
Let's go. Nice.
Still the highest ratings every week. He's added on ratings. And of course, he demolished all other shows across network television. NBC had The Voice, which scored a 0.49. CBS had Bob Hart's Abishola with a 0.37. And Fox bringing up the lead with MasterChef Junior 0.26. I mean, this is phenomenal. Ratings every week are going up. As far back as I can get ratings for this show, this has never happened.
I can't remember this ever happening.
Yeah.
I mean, this is... so cool to see as a, Bachelor super fan.
I agree.
As the world's number one Bachelor super fan podcast.
I agree.
I'm proud of them. I'm proud of all the social media gains. It warms my heart. Speaking of those, our crown gains this week, Joey Grazzi gained 33K on Instagram for a total of 534K. Is he going to hit that million? He's still halfway there. He gained 35.8K on TikTok, total of 114.9K followers.
I think by the end of this season, he's going to be sitting around 7-something. Then you put him on Dancing with the Stars.
Good, you didn't predict a million this time.
He makes a deep run on Dancing with Stars. Maybe he could do it.
Mm.
I could see it.
I bet he'd do well on Dancing with the Stars.
I think he would too for some reason.
based on his and DLP's tennis.
Yeah. Moving on.
Top five Instagram gains. Maria Gorgas jumped into the lead. She gained 61K this week for her swan song Exit Bump, coming to a total of 466K.
Kelsey Anderson in second place. Daisy Kent's not even in the top two here. Kelsey Anderson gained 38.7K. She's now at 126K.
Daisy Kent's in third. She gained 34K for a total of 472K.
So her gains are starting to slow down a little bit. Still in the driver's seat, though. Jen Tran gained 7.6K for a total of 76.2K in fourth place.
Rounding out the top five, Lexi Young gained 6.6K for a total of 24.3K. Hasn't even been in the document in weeks.
That's true. The top five Instagram chart as of today is as follows. Daisy Kent is on top, just barely, with 472K.
Friend of Vin Diesel, Maria Gorgas, is close behind in second with 466K.
And then the big drop-off. Kelsey Anderson, third place, 126K.
Fourth place, Jen Tran, 76.2K.
And fifth place, Lexi Young, with 61.2K. Still that giant disparity. Ugh. The top two are just in another category.
And Rachel not in the top five.
Yeah. I mean, that's a travesty, obviously. But we see things like that happening kind of constantly in our beloved game. The top five TikTok chart is as follows. Maria Gorgas is, we still don't know how to pronounce her name. Is it Georgias? Georgas? Gorgeous? Gorgas?
I know. I'm sorry.
Giorga?
Giorgas?
Guarga.
Giorgas.
I don't know. Guarga.
I think that's it. Guarga.
Maria Guarga. she, whatever you say her name as, she is in first place on the TikTok chart, 276.5K.
Our next crown.
Put on 41.8K this week alone.
Let's go. Daisy Kent dropped to second in the TikTok chart this week. She has 265.3K total. She gained 17.6K this week.
And Kira Brush is at 120.6K in third place.
Kelsey Anderson jumped into fourth place this week with 94K total. She gained 34.9K this week alone.
And Star Skyler, still on the list, in fifth place with 77.1K. Is Star Skyler a night one player?
I think she was week two.
I'm looking this up right now. I have to know.
What was Kira?
Kira was night one. Star Skyler was, third rose ceremony. Got knocked out. So it was around for a couple of weeks.
Sorry for the disrespect.
But Kira Brush was night one.
Night one. I have a dream that one day all five of these people will still be in the game at some point.
That could be possible. Paradise may or may not be coming. But that's it for the gains. We are now going to move into that portion of our program where we talk about all those tids.
Clues. A Mother's Day is coming up.
That's true.
You know, that's one of the most important holidays. We got to honor our mothers. They all went through a lot to get us here into this planet. And the gifts for Mother's Day, they can be a little predictable and boring. Sweaters, candles, the dreaded bathrobe. You only need one bathrobe, in my opinion. That's why Aura Frames is the perfect gift to mix things up this year. Named the best digital photo frame by Wirecutter, Aura Frames are guaranteed to bring joy to moms of all ages.
Aura Frames are Wi-Fi connected. They come with unlimited storage. You can share as many photos as you want from your phone to your mom's frame. Not only is she going to be grateful that it's not just another sweater for Mother's Day, she's also going to love that an Aura frame means she gets to see more of you. Or in my case, she gets to see more of my cat, Skaboolian. My mom loves seeing him rolling around, playing with his toys, doing whatever, and I can upload as many images of him as I want every day, and my mom gets to see them in her Aura frame and then text me about it for all the rest of the day. Right now, Aura has a great deal for Mother's Day. Everybody listening to Game of Roses can save on that perfect gift by visiting AuraFrames.com to get $30 off plus free shipping on their best-selling frame. That's AuraFrames.com. Use code ROSES at checkout to save. Terms and conditions apply.
Clues, you know, I'm on my year of health, 2024. I'm trying to really focus on that. You know, I've got my career in order. I've got, you know, other aspects of my life, but I eat badly and I take care of myself badly. But that is changing now. I have discovered Lumi. Lumi is a game-changing whole-body deodorant designed by an OBGYN to work not only on pits, but also feet, privates, and everywhere else we get odor. I use their wipes. I use their, they have a traditional deodorant stick, too, which I use, a lovely coconut smell about it. And no matter where you use it, Lumi is clinically proven to block odor all day long, all thanks to its one-of-a-kind pH-optimized formula. They have over 275,000 five-star reviews to show for it.
It's baking soda-free. It's paraben-free. It's pH balanced for safe use below the belt. Clinically proven to control odor better than a shower with soap alone. 12 hours after a shower, the average person has an odor level of 6 out of 10. Did you know that?
That's
a
disgusting.
High level. With Lumi, the average odor level is, guess what? 0 out of 10.
Yes.
Lumi's starter pack is perfect for new customers. It comes with a solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choice. You could get mini body wash, you can get deodorant wipes, whatever you want, and free shipping. And as a special offer for everyone listening right now, new customers are going to get $5 off a Lumi starter pack with code ROSES at LumiDeodorant.com. That's L-U-M-E deodorant.com. That equates to over 40% off the starter pack when you visit LumiDeodorant.com and use that code ROSES.
Clues. I quit bras during the pandemic. I said, no more. They're not comfortable. I'm being comfy as a lifestyle. And I couldn't picture a bra that would exist that I would want to wear. But today's sponsor, Honeylove, has revolutionized the bra game. They don't have underwire, they don't have bulky fabrics, and they are so soft. Basically feels like a second skin, which is the only type of bra I will be wearing in the year of our gore, 2024. Mm-hmm. I got the crossover bra, the black runway one. It has this cute like mesh that adds peekaboo mesh that adds this very sexy touch, so it's like doesn't look like it's, you know, a comfortable bra, but it is. And I guess I'm a bra person again, it turns out.
Well, congrats, Pace Case. I know it's a big step for you right now. You can treat yourself to the best bras on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/roses. Use that exclusive link to get 20% off honeylove.com/roses. After you purchase, they're going to ask you where you heard about them. Please support Game of Roses and tell them we sent you. Treat yourself to Honey Love because you deserve it. To print.
This is Bachelor Nation News.
First up in Bachelor Nation news, DLH is risen once more. And he's not alone. The original Dark Lord of our beloved game and his wife, the never host of the defunct Relation Sips podcast, Lauren Zima, announced this week that they are returning to TV as a dynamic duo. The announcement of the
Relation
Dark Lord's
Sips.
The announcement of the Dark Lord's return was made on his podcast, The Most Dramatic Podcast Ever, as well as across various social media platforms. The Dark One took to Instagram to write, quote, "Incredibly excited to announce that at Lauren Zima and I are coming to you with the next chapter in our television careers, alongside a video of Dr. Phil welcoming him and Zima to his new network, Merritt Street Media."
I like how you wrote "Most Dramatic Podcast Ever" is Modrampo. Harrison and Zima's first duties as employees of Dr. Phil will be to co-host a morning show on the new cable network. Harrison announced that he will also be the host and creator of a new dating show for the network as part of a bigger deal, and he will be featured on McGraw's Dr. Phil Primetime series.
Although no details have been given about the dating format, Dr. Phil said, quote, "It has dating elements in it, but this is so different and so novel. It is flipping the script in a way that I think people are going to become addicted to it in a week. It's unbelievable." Thank you. That was my Dr. Phil.
Are they AI? How is he flipping the script?
I have no idea. But what I'm hoping for is it's a dating show that is like all around Dallas, that it never leaves the source.
I hope it's full source too.
Go back and watch Cheaters. Go back and watch Cheaters. You ever see that show?
Show?
It was, yeah, it was a show from the early 2000s where a private detective, there were a couple of different ones that did it, but the private detective was the host of the show. People would sign up with the show and be like, I think my spouse is cheating on me. Then they would track this fucker down and expose them for cheating.
I listened to the Rose radio show that was like that.
That entire show, every episode takes place in the source, and it is great. At any rate, Merritt Street Media is located in Dallas, the source, and the network launches on Tuesday, April 2nd. You got to check your local cable provider to see if you get Merritt Street Media. I don't know how the fuck I'm going to watch this.
Yeah, does my cable provider have that?
No, I don't think YouTube TV is going to have it. But
okay, I was just trying to not say the name.
Yeah, for those who are curious, I did do a Clues Corner where I listened to this entire announcement on his podcast and kind of broke down what I believe is a lot of misinformation, we'll call it, that he's delivering in this announcement.
There's your scream.
Like, well, no, I mean, they say like, this is the biggest network launch in TV history, they say. And I'm like, what about when ABC, CBS, and NBC first launched back in the 40s? And like, they were the only three networks on TV. And literally everyone in the country watched them. It's bigger than that.
And 20 million people watched The Bachelor.
Well, I mean, they're launching a whole new network, though. Not just The Bachelor.
How many watched season one?
It's not just a show.
Right.
Dr. Phil has his own like cable network. It's very similar to like what Oprah Winfrey did with OWN. And he's kind of following that model, obviously. At any rate.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, Grazzi has revealed another weak spot in his knowledge of celebrity identities. Oh, no. In a recent appearance on Live with Kelly and Mark Kelly, Ripa asked Grazzi what he thought about speculation that Kathy Lee Gifford might become the first Golden Bachelorette. Grazzi replied, I'll be honest, I have no idea who Kathy Lee Gifford is, eliciting laughter, boos, and cries of shock from the audience. In an attempt to defend himself, he cried out, I'm only 28. I'm sorry. Sweet man.
Kathy Lee Gifford is, of course, a television legend who hosted the previous iteration of Rippa and Mark Consuelos' morning talk show, Live with Regis and Kathy Lee, from 1985 to the year 2000. And then she went on to co-host Today with Kathy Lee and Hoda from 2008 to 2019. She has 12 Emmy nominations, one win, and Gifford took the slight in good spirits, writing on X, I don't expect him to know me. I've got shoes that are older than this kid.
Will Kathy Lee be the first Golden Bachelorette? Smart money is on Golden Bachelor runner-up Leslie Fima, but a celebrity like Gifford would be an incredibly interesting choice. I feel like it's Fima, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Also, I feel like, Joey, if it makes you feel better, I'm constantly revealing my weak spot in knowledge of celebrities from the 1900s on this show, so don't feel too bad.
She won a fucking Emmy in 2019. It's not like she's from silent movies or something.
Whatever. Exactly. This is exactly my point. I'm getting roasted for my knowledge when Clues doesn't know about things I have knowledge about. Almost 18 full seasons of Sister Wives I've watched since last summer.
Yeah. Oh, fantastic. You know Kathy Lee Gifford?
It's really getting good. Yeah, but I would not say I could name one of her shows. I would say the most resonant thing for me, unfortunately, is that like thing where she pretended to behead someone.
That's not Kathy Lee Gifford.
I'm sorry. It's not?
That's Kathy Griffin, just FYI. That's a different person.
Oh my God, I have no idea who this is.
You and Grazzi have way more in common than I thought.
Oh no. Oh no.
Yeah.
Wait, so this lady is going to beat out Fima? No way. Sorry. I'm sorry. I'm only 34.
Up next in Bachelor Nation news, season 20 Bachelorette Michelle Young has recently revealed that she broke protocol to secretly communicate with her family during the shooting of her season. Young posted a pic of her Netflix screen via her Instagram story last week with a message that read, love you too, wishing you the best, XOXO, the fam. And she captioned the image, how I spoke to my family back when I was filming The Bachelorette. Oops.
I loved this. Young's method of back-channel communication through her Netflix app appears to be unique, but other players have attempted to communicate with people outside the filming bubble too. Ahead of Matt's season, pal Tyler Cameron shared that the duo developed a plan in case he needed some help on his journey to find love that involved a prearranged SOS signal that could be sent through their Peloton bikes.
I know.
Smart tech boys.
And let's just say... there are many more ways to get information into and out of the production bubble other than Netflix and Peloton. That's all I can say.
Through, you can do it through Halo Top fudge messages.
Yeah, I open the carton of Halo Top and just carve a message into the like pristine surface of a new can of Halo Top. Up next in Bachelor Nation news. Grazie's yellow eyes explained after enough members of the fourth audience made it known through various social media platforms that they were curious about the almost imperceptible yellow tinge to Grazie's greatest asset, his eyes. The current reigning bachelor took to Instagram to share a video explaining that his yellow eyes are the result of Gilbert syndrome.
I never noticed this, by the way. Did you?
No, never did.
Huh. Grazie said, when I was in high school, I was sick for about a week and a half. They diagnosed me with something, Gilbert syndrome. At the end of the day, I'm told I'm healthy. It's something that does affect the whites of my eyes. It makes it have those jaundice levels, which is why they look a little bit more yellow.
Gilbert syndrome is a common, harmless liver condition in which the liver doesn't properly produce bilirubin. I don't know if I'm saying that right. Grazie explained that his condition gets worse when he is stressed or tired, saying, quote, it's something I want to pay attention to more going into this year. I want to get my health right and make sure that I'm all good. But I at least wanted to give some background and let you know, to my knowledge, I am healthy, and it's just something that I have to pay attention to drinking more fluids.
We wish Grazie the best.
Sorry.
Let's do it at the same time.
All right. We wish Grazie the best.
With his 2024 peeper protocol. Great. Up next in Bachelor Nation news, Bachelor season 23 superstar Hannah Godwin took to TikTok this week for a contract violation about the rules and regulations of traveling while shooting. In an answer to a fourth audience question about the flights they take, Godwin said, when we were overseas, the women would all get on first because we had seats in the back in random spots and stuff. And then the bachelor and the host, at the time it was Chris Harrison, would get on last and they would get to sit in the front.
We don't know if this is still how things are done in our beloved game today, but we can't thank Hannah enough for this peek behind the curtain of production techniques. I still am confused though. Do the bachelor and the host get to sit in first class and the players are in the cabin?
I think that's what this is saying. The players are scattered while they're in the front. I would think they would have to sit with producers to like not let them talk off camera.
Can you imagine being on one of those planes? Because they do the travel round start when there's about like, what, 15 or 16 players left? So you're just on a plane with 16 fucking professional athletes all while they're playing the game. You're like in the midst of them playing.
I would take so much secret footage.
Absolutely.
A la that person on Nick Vial's flight that he hates who ruined his season.
Yes.
Recorded his phone call.
Absolutely. If I was sitting, I mean, this may be something that I just have to start doing, taking random flights in hopes that I get on the player flight. And then I could just start coaching mid-flight. Listen, how's it going? What kind of group dates have you had so far? Did you get a one-on-one yet? Here, look, here's what you need to do.
There was a song my sister and I came up with when we were children, and it went like this. Below is another below. Below is another below. And it reminds me of you. You just think you can't go deeper.
There is no end. There is no end to the depths that reside within me. Now let's move on to all those plays that our players are making off the field on their telephones. This is...
the parasocial play of the week. Maria Gorgas posted her swan song exit post on Instagram, a 9-slide post with the first image, a hilarious old-fashioned photo of her whole family with her Sweet Nums familial award-winning father holding a shotgun in the middle. She posts content from her season on there as well as some office memes and a Jared Fried video in which he zooms in on her dad, Nick Gorgas, and says, "This man looks like he invented dating 30 women at the same time." 217K likes for this post, 5.6K comments, including ring winner Rachel Kirkconnell commenting, "I can only imagine what a group of men would do for you. I need you to be the next Bachelorette." We concur.
Indeed. Carrier of BIP season 9, Olivia Lewis made a spicy Instagram story in response to the question, "Do you think Kat got an unfair edit / harsh treatment after your season? Also, is Blake as fire IRL? She responded, "The only person that got an unfair edit was this lady right here. There is so much more to her than not being able to poop and a nervous rash, and I wish America got to see how amazing she truly is. Sucks for y'all that y'all didn't get to witness." Zany face emoji. "See you Friday, Samantha." Mm-hmm. Heart face emoji. "Also, yes, at Blake Moynes is very fire IRL." And there we see this is a caption on a picture of Olivia and Samantha Jeffries in a Cavaliers jacket. I don't know where this is. They've got some, looks like some swag bags.
Voodoo enthusiast Kelsey Anderson made a TikTok about how she's going to have nightmares now because of the fast production of the countless thirsty TikToks about her dad, Mark, after hometowns. She included footage of her whole family laughing at one particular thirst trap video on TikTok, including her dad giggling at it. At the end, she calls for Marky Mark to be the Golden Bachelor, and I, Pace Case, concur. 1.1 million views for this video, 106.7K likes.
How old is her dad? 50? Maybe?
You don't think that's golden?
I mean, I don't know. This is what we were kind of talking about like last week. Are they trying to notch down the age?
If you're above 40, you're golden. I could see them notching down the age.
I'm fucking golden?
No. I just meant Byron Velvick is the oldest bachelor. It was meant to be a joke.
Yeah. I think I'm existing in the gray area. At this point, I think between 40 and 60 is the gray area where you can't be on either show, in my opinion.
I would say 50 plus seems golden.
Okay.
Or maybe it should be 60 plus because that's like retirement age.
Time will tell. Becca Martinez made a husband appreciation post, a before and after reel of herself getting ready to go on a date with her now husband, Grayston, talking about how cute he is. Cutting to a video of them after where they now have 3 kids. The Chiron reads, "This is your sign to make a video diary when a cute guy asks for your number. You should film yourself before you go on all dates, just in case." 195K views.
All of these were strong plays. However, there can be only one winner. Our parasocial play of the week goes to Peter, Popeye, Weber, and Sweet Nums. They posted a flurry of social media from the Traitors finale wrap party after the reunion. And this party was hosted at Sweet Nums and 747 Flyers house. "This party had it all. Reality TV superstars, Popeye 2.0 in a tux, Sweet Nums holding hands with former Speaker of the House of Commons John Bercow, Sweet Nums with Queen Phaedra, Shady Fei-Fei Parks, a photo of Sweet Nums with Jet and Jack's paramour, Christine Weber, and Ekin Su, prompting dating rumors re-Pilot Pete and Ekin Su. Sweet Nums in a separate selfie with Ekin Su captioning, "To know Ekin Su is to love her. She is mother." And to top it all off, the catering was done by Italian-American family-style restaurant Buca di Beppo, which was absolutely iconic in itself. To know Sweet Nums is to love her. Congratulations.
I mean, Jesus Christ. The things that are happening as a result of Traitors, the re-emergence, the reinsertion of the Weber family into mainstream reality TV royalty, I have just loved every fucking second of it.
Me too. I think it's time for Bachelors in the City to come back now.
Or something. Like, Pilot Pete definitely needs to be doing a podcast now, again. Definitely needs to be launching one.
100%. It should be called Peter's Pals.
Yep.
Done.
I agree. You got it. We also must mention that there were some creatures making plays this week. Caitlin Bristow specifically posted Pino and Rodman with all three of them in matching taut helmets for the tornado warnings that were near them. Please go check this out on her Instagram. It was the parasocial creature of the week. I think Pino and Rodman should be getting a lifetime parasocial creature award from us very soon. They have won this category more than anyone, hands down.
I mean, I've tried to put things on Luca Toni. It's hard to get any sort of a costume on a dog.
Yeah.
Let alone two matching ones where they're looking at the camera. Are you kidding me?
They just do it on another level.
So good. Jen Tran also posted a really cute French bulldog with her in her story, in her Instagram mangrove.
Nice. Well, to all the creatures and to all the players, thank you for your service this week in the parasocial world. It is now time for Pace Case and I to dive into the deepest parts of the pit, which I now fully reside in, and issue forth our screams. This is
Screams from the Pit!
So I've pretty much covered my main scream, which is that I have spent this week, since you said that you thought Kelsey was the ring winner because of that Daisy giving Joey the out, I had been so convinced that Daisy was a ring winner that it really made me question myself. And I was laying in bed at night thinking about it. And I was like, could it be? I was just going back and forth between which ones it could be. And I was very grateful to be feeling this speculation. I'm glad I haven't been spoiled. And I'm glad that I'm so emotionally invested in this show again.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess I've always been emotionally invested, but in a more proud way, I guess, this these past seasons.
Well, it's like all the things that we kind of talk about on the show about like why the show is not working or what is bad with it. It really does feel like all of that has been taken into account this season. It really, like, there's virtually nothing I can say that is bad about this season. A couple little editing things here or there, a couple little overproducing things, but like there's no Chase Rice's this season so far that we know of, you know, there's nothing like that. And it really, it just allows the format to shine because the format is perfect. The dating by attrition in a group setting like this, it just is a perfect format. And all you have to do is cast interesting people and give us the little moments, show us who they are. They're just doing it so well.
Show us their little special moments and show us who your casting department has been working their little tails off trying to get these amazing cast members. I have a mini scream to add on to this, which is that I went and saw Dune 2 again last night.
You saw it twice.
And yes.
Okay.
I love it. And something happens in it that I missed in my first viewing, which is that Javier Bardem, who plays Stilgar, wet thumbs Rebecca Ferguson, who plays Lady Jessica.
And then eats it.
In the film. And then he eats it. God damn it.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he eats it.
How did you not notice that shit? That was the only thing I remember from it. The Stilgar wet thumb.
Did we already talk about this?
I don't think so.
Okay.
I remember seeing it.
Well, I can't believe you didn't bring it up until now.
And saying out loud, I stood up in the movie theater and goes, and I went, that he wet thumbed her.
How funny would it be if Joey started wet thumbing and then doing food play with it, eating the tears?
If he fucking eats a tear at the end of this season, I mean, that's the best bachelor that ever lived, in my opinion.
He just goes, thank you.
Interesting screams. But yes, I can never see anyone wipe a tear away with a thumb again without it being a wet thumb in my mind.
Yeah, you've changed my life.
I changed your life. Joey changed both of our lives. And by the end of this season, again, just rest assured, you will be seeing something coming from my Instagram account about the wet thumb. Now, let me move on to my scream from this week.
Okay.
I've been listening to a lot of Bachelor podcasts to try and pull clips for Digging Deeper. And something has begun to happen to me where I just don't, I'm not able to pull back. Let me say that much. For example, I was going to do some clips from Dark Lord Harrison's podcast where he announced that him and Zemo are coming back to host TV again. And I just kept listening. And I got like 10 minutes into it and I'm like, fuck, I should just do a corner on this entire podcast. And then it just kind of comes into my mind that's like, why are we even doing Digging Deepers? Shouldn't I just be listening to all the podcasts and recording myself listening to them and commenting on everything? And I simply can't. Obviously, there's not enough time.
Clues. No. Yeah,
I know.
You cannot go down this road.
There's not enough time. There's not enough time. But God, I wish there was.
That is a good scream, though, that you were just trying to pull one clip and then you just...
I listened to the entire thing. I pulled one very long, like 45 minute long clip, like 30 some minutes. Anyway, that was my scream. I am unable to stop myself from doing these things. And now we have one more scream to get to. This is a scream that comes to us from someone in the pit.
We need Shoya back.
A deep cut. If anybody remembers Shoya, shout out to Shoya, wherever you are, whatever you're doing. We have one more scream, however. This comes to us from someone in the pit. If you want to submit your screams, all you have to do is go to patreon.com/gameofroses. You join us in the pit. You get access to our Discord. In that Discord, there is a channel called Screams from the Pit. In that channel, you can upload a 1 minute or shorter audio clip of your scream. How has your fandom of our beloved game or reality TV generally affected your life in some drastic way that you didn't see coming? That is a bit borderline if it's healthy or not, and but you indulge it nonetheless because it's at least fun. You know what I'm saying? Anyway, this one comes to us from someone named Jordan, and we're going to listen to it now.
Hey, Pitt. I have some intel, and I need some advice. I work in a leadership role for a restaurant group based out of Seattle. Yesterday, we received an email from a field producer at NZK Productions with the subject titled Filming Request ABC Dating Show. My whole body went numb as I opened the email and saw that they are interested in possibly using the restaurant that I work at for an upcoming shoot in April, with the exact dates provided in the email. Assuming that they will be filming our beloved game, I started spiraling. Is it The Bachelorette? Golden Bachelorette? What could they possibly be shooting in April, and why Seattle? As of now, almost 24 hours after the email was sent, nobody has responded, and my position in the company is nowhere near high enough to expedite this mission. They also said that they want to come next week to scope out the space, so time is of the essence here. My questions for you are, one, how do I escalate this as quickly as possible to upper management to ensure that they indeed film at my place of work? And two, if and when they do end up shooting and I am somehow blessed to be working or even allowed on the premises, what would you suggest I do to infiltrate the game to represent Gore? In the words of Christina Mandrell, help me, help me, help me. Praise be, Dark Lord Palmer.
This is a very high level scream, and I love it because what it does is it illustrates something. When you're in the pit, the dark energies of the pit bring things to you. You don't even have to fucking seek them. The show just came to you. And I also love the scream because it's asking for advice, and I believe I have some good advice.
I have some good advice too.
This is, I think, how you get your upper management interested in it. You say, listen, any place that they go to, any place this show touches, we can then use that for the next year to promote Bachelor Nights here when the season airs. I'm sure this restaurant has a bar or whatever in it. You can pack the fucking house based on your appearance in the show. And then how you guarantee that you get to interact with them is you say to those same employers, I know this show inside and out. Let me handle when they come here. I'll be their server or whatever you need to be to them. And I will make sure it goes off without a hitch. Then you play some of the most bombastic Jorge Moreno play we have ever seen. You're dumping spaghetti on their heads. You're accidentally kicking them. Things of this nature, in my opinion.
To add on to this, I fully agree with everything you're saying. One thing I would do is I would get your character prepared for the location scout. That's your moment where you're going to help promote the restaurant and help them be like, this is an interesting place. And you perform a bombastic character during that time. You're screaming corner. Maybe you just go full the bear with your attitude and just make it seem like an entertaining place. And then furthermore, in order to convince them, I think you say it's this advertisement for us. Like, yeah, we're going to have to shut down for a few hours, but we'll be shown to, you know, 0.69 people. And
0.69 people, 3.6 million people, 0.69 in the demo.
And it's a great ad. And not only that, we will also be featured, if we make it in the document, we'll be featured on a podcast called Game of Roses. This is my gore guarantee. We'll feature your restaurant and its name if it makes it in the document as well.
Absolutely.
And we have about 4 million listeners as well.
I think that's wildly inaccurate. Now you're sounding like Dark Lord Harrison and Lauren Zima. We have the biggest podcast in the history of media.
How dare you attack me? I am that golf guy, Rory McIlroy. I'm Rory McIlroy and you're attacking me. You're the evil golf people.
We are all Rory. We are Rory. What they're shooting is Bachelorette in April. So that's what this will be. They are looking at your restaurant to be probably, I would guess, a one-on-one.
Are any of them from Seattle?
No. Not any of the final three. Not any of the final four.
No.
They're not. I would guess that Seattle is going to be the local or the domestic travel. That's what I would guess. But thank you so much again for this high-level scream, Jordan. We hope it works out. Please keep us posted. And thank you, everyone, for joining us today for this week in Bachelor Nation. As I said, by the time you're listening to this, Clues Corner will have two new offerings in it. Traitors season finale and Traitors reunion. I can't fucking wait.
And who knows how many more if you listen to another Bachelor podcast.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Oh my God, I have to pull it in.
Oh, another suggestion is I would make the restaurant as Seattle-y as possible. Look at the Sean Lowe and Catherine Lowe date and just try to like include that. The throwing fish, even no matter what type of restaurant it is.
Get a bunch of the Supersonics in there, some Mariners. Some Seahawks.
Uh-huh. Of those things. Of course. Of course.
At any rate, thank you everyone for joining us. We'll be back on Tuesday with our breakdown of Fantasy Suites. God, I can't wait. I haven't been this excited for a Fantasy Suites in a long fucking time.
Me either.
Oh, I can't wait. We hope you'll join us for that. And in the meantime, before we go, as always, Pace Case, what is that dwab at?
It's been 8,019 days without an Asian bachelor. Praise be Dark Lord Palmer.
Please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us. And then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then please rate this podcast. Please review this podcast. Please get a friend to listen to us, and then.
Creams and serums are made of 70% water, 15% preservatives and emulsifiers, leaving only around 15% for the active ingredients that your skin needs. But luckily now, there's Fiber Skincare.
15 years ago, the scientists behind Fiber Skincare started working on nanofibers, which are 500 times smaller than human hair. You know, I saw that in Three Body Problem. Mm. 1 year ago, they patented a way of wrapping the nanofiber around oil or liquid-based ingredients. This means they can deliver 5 times the active ingredients compared to creams or serums, as there is no need for water, preservatives, or emulsifiers.
The first formulation made with this technology is plant-based, anti-wrinkle. It's a set of patches that you use over a series of 7 days. You just put these on whenever you would apply your serums, and your skin is going to feel tighter in 10 seconds. And over the 7-day program, it has been clinically proven to reduce wrinkles by, get this, 19.4%, a very precise percentage. In fact, they have a tighter skin guarantee. If your skin isn't tighter in 7 days, they're going to give you your money back, no questions asked.
You get the tighter skin guarantee with this 7-day routine. Tighter skin or your money back. Get a 15% discount code by using the discount code GAME. That's Fiber Skincare.
Normally, being a little extra might be a bit much, but not when it comes to healthcare. That's why UnitedHealthcare's Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, supplement your primary plan so you manage out-of-pocket costs. Learn more at uh1.com.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.